chapter on page number 422. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches ring when the angels sing, proclaiming the royal decree. But of lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, thou didst bloom in my heart for thee. When the heavens shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory, let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for thee. My heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me. Brother Rich, would you go ahead and pray for us this morning, please? Amen. You may go ahead and be seated. Turn to page number 424. We're going to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. Page number 424.
Blessing to be here this morning. Merry Christmas to everybody here today. Hope everybody's had a good week so far, and and hopefully you'll have a good week this coming week as well. But today, of course, is Christmas Eve, and so tonight just want to remind you that we'll be eating lunch here at the church for anybody that wants to stay, and then we'll have our service, our evening service for tonight at 2 o'clock today, so just want to remind you about that. And so if you want to stay and eat lunch with us, you're welcome to. And then we'll be having the service at 2 o'clock. And then I believe it's next week on Sunday is New Year's Eve. And so next week on Sunday, if you want to stay after the service, we're just going to have a time of fellowship after service, games, and of course have some food and stuff. So that'll be next week after the service, the evening service, just to bring in the new year there. So just want to remind you about that as well. And so, of course, soul-winning today, of course, will be postponed. Usually we do that at 2 o'clock, but we've moved our service up to 2 o'clock. But then we'll get back next week to normal soul-winning times as well at 10 o'clock on Saturday, then 2 o'clock next week on Sunday as usual. So just want to remind you about those things here this morning. And let's see, does anybody have any prayer requests or anything that we need to add to the prayer list here this morning? Yes. Okay. All right. Edith Parker. All right. So pray for her and the family there. All right. Let's see. Jason. All right. Good. Yeah. Continue to pray for her. She's recovering from the pacemaker. Levi, I need you to come up here and do me a favor real quick. All right. Go into my office real quick. Grab the offering plates out of there, please. All right, so let's see, continuing on. Continue to pray for Jason's mother there. She recovers. Anybody else have anything else here today that we need to add to the prayer list here this morning? Nothing else to add. All right, I guess that's it. You know, let's see, I guess that's it here this morning. Continue to pray for everybody else that is on the list there. And that everybody have a good Christmas here this week. I guess we'll go ahead and pray over these that are on the list, and then we'll take up our offering as soon as Levi gets back in here with offering plates, I guess. So let's see. I guess I'll ask Brother Anthony and Brother Patrick to come on up here this morning, and we'll pray over these that are on the list here today. All right. Just in time. All right. Thank you, Levi. I appreciate that. And so, Brother Patrick, if you would go ahead and pray for us this morning.
Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be in your house this morning, worship you in spirit and truth, and Lord, to celebrate your birth, and just pray, Father, that you would help us to, Lord, continue to remember you each day of the next coming year, Father, as we witness and soul win for you, Lord, and we start, Lord, a new church, Father, such a blessing. I pray, Father, that you continue to bless us in that effort, Father, and pray for your word this morning. You bless that, Brother Bill, and what he asked for us, and as well as our offering, pray you bless that as well, and our people, and Lord, I pray especially for Brother Jason's mother and continue to, Lord, help her to heal as well as others, Lord, that are sick in the church and need your touch. Lord, it's in your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen.
All right, coming to page number 434, we're going to sing A Little Town of Bethlehem, page number 434. Go ahead and stand for the last hymn, page number 434. Silent stars go by, yet in thy dark.
Take your Bibles here today. Go to Luke chapter number 2, and Brother Jason's going to come read for us here this morning. And we're going to read Luke chapter number 2, verses 1 through 21 here this morning. Luke chapter number 2, verses 1 through 21.
All right, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Cyrene. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up with Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from there into heaven, the shepherds said unto another, Let us now go on to Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad this saying which has told them concerning this child. And all that they heard is wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you there this morning, Jason. So this morning, of course, Luke chapter number 2 is the famous portion of Scripture that many people read on Christmas. In fact, my family has a tradition that Christmas morning, before we open Christmas gifts, we always sit down and we'll read Luke chapter number 2. And of course, this is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ being born there in Bethlehem. And look down at verse number 11. There's one part of this that we're going to focus on here today. In verse number 11, it says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, notice this, which is Christ the Lord. And so my sermon title here this morning is The Christ. And if I were to ask you this morning, ask you any day, what is the definition of the Christ? What would be the definition of the Christ? I mean, what would you tell me about that? Not who is the Christ. We know that Jesus Christ is the Christ. But if I asked you what is the Christ,
Could you tell me, could you give me a just a simplified definition of what the Christ was? And that's what we're going to look at here in the Scripture here this morning, is the Christ in the Word of God. And so right there in the Scripture in verse number 11, I mean, first of all, obviously, the Christ, meaning that it's the Savior, right? That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the Savior for all men there. And so we see that in verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." But let's take our Bibles and go over to Matthew chapter number 16. And I hope you're ready here this morning, because we're going to look at a lot of Scripture here today. And go to Matthew chapter number 16. And what we're going to see here in the Scripture and throughout the Scriptures here this morning is that people, during this day and time, they understood what the word Christ meant. In fact, they were looking for the Christ to come. Now, many of them, of course, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected Him as their Christ. And listen, the Bible says, you know, who is he that is Antichrist, but he that denieth that the Son, that Jesus, is the Christ, right? And so look at what the Bible says, Matthew chapter number 16, and look down at verse number 13, and the Bible says this right there. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" Notice what the question is. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's the answer. Look at it, verse 16. "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the what? The Christ," and notice what it says, "the Son of the living God." And something that we will see all throughout the Scriptures is that when you talk about the Christ, what is associated with it was always the Son of God. I mean, how was it that Peter knew that this was the Son of God, that this was the Christ? In fact, something that we'll see in the Scripture is that when Jesus Christ was baptized, and when God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," he was putting his stamp of approval upon him, saying he was the anointed one, saying he was the holy one, saying that he was a Savior, saying that he was the Christ. Because something that is always associated with the Christ in the Bible is that he was the Son of God. Now let's look at some other places in the Bible. In fact, look on down at verse number 20 right there. And the Bible says right there in verse number 20, notice this. And it says, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus," the what? The Christ. Now, why was it that Jesus did not want his disciples to tell people at this point here that he was the Christ? Well, because there were things that had to happen according to the will of God, that he had to be rejected by the nation of Israel, and it was not yet his timing for him to be revealed as the Christ to all men, but he has revealed him as the Christ to the apostles and to the disciples, hasn't he? Now let's go elsewhere in the Bible. Go to Matthew chapter number 26 and look at verse number 63. Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 63. See what the Bible has to say there. Matthew 26, verse number 63. And the Bible says this, Matthew 26, verse 63. And it says right there, "But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the what? Living God, that thou tell us whether thou be," notice this, "the Christ," and what does he say? "The Son of God." So people at this time, what this is showing us is that people during the times of Christ understood that the Christ who would come, the Savior who would come, the King who would come, they understood that he would be the Son of God. Now, how is it that they understood that? Because they didn't have the New Testament at this time yet, did they? No, it had not been written yet. So how did they understand, how did they know that the Christ would be the Son of God? Because we saw it with Peter, that Peter not only knows that the Christ is going to be the Son of God, but he recognizes that Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus is the Son of God. But here we have this high priest, and this high priest doesn't recognize Jesus as the Christ, but he still knows this, doesn't he? He still knows that the Christ would be who? The Son of God. Now let's look at some more Scripture. Go ahead and look on down at verse verse number 20 or 64 right there. We only read one verse. The Bible says in verse number 64, Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now let's go over to John chapter number 11, verse number 25. And we're just laying a foundation here this morning as we get started this morning. John chapter number 11 and verse number 25. See what the Bible has to say there. John chapter number 11 and verse number 25. And the Bible says this in John chapter number 11, verse number 25. And the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art, notice this, the what? The Christ. And what's the very next thing she says? The Son of God, which should come into the world. So something that we see about people during this time is they understood that the Christ would be the Son of God that would come into the world. I wonder before I'd even showed this to you before, how many of you would have been able to say that? That the term Christ also attached with it meant that it was talking about the Son of God. I mean, these people understood that and knew that. And this woman recognizes that Jesus is that Christ, the Son of God, that would come into the world. And you see, this is what God was testifying of when Jesus was baptized. And he said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. He was testifying that Jesus was the Christ. Now let's look at some more scripture. Go to John chapter number 20 and look at verse number 31. John chapter number 20 and verse number 31. Last book or last chapter, or almost the last chapter, close to the last chapter of the book of John. But look at what the Bible says there. John chapter number 20 and verse number 31. See what the Bible has to say there. John chapter number 20, verse number 31. And the Bible says, but these are written. What is written? The entire book of John. All right, this is the claim that the book of John is making. But these are written that ye might believe that who? That Jesus is what? The Christ, and not only the Christ, but also what? But also the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So listen, people during these times, they understood that the Christ meant that it would also be the Son of God who would come into the world. But the reason why we have the book of John is to show us who the Christ is. To show us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ and is the Son of God. And listen, don't we see that in John chapter number 1? In fact, go ahead and look at it. John chapter number 1, and look what the Bible has to say there. Portion of scripture that many of you probably already know if I start quoting it. John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, Gnosis, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you see, the book of John starts off right away showing you who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Showing you that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That he was the Word made flesh. That he was with God. That he was God. That he was the Creator. And that it's through his name that believing that you're saved. And that, and then we go to John chapter number 20 there, almost at the end of the book, and in the last verse there, it says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now take your Bibles and let's go back to Old Testament. Go to Daniel chapter number 3. Because how is it that during this day and time that people understood that there would be a Christ who would come, and that Christ would be the Son of God? How is it that they understood that? Well, that's what we're going to do here today. We just laid the foundation for it in the New Testament, but we're going to go back and we're going to look at the Old Testament and see these prophecies in the Old Testament. So Daniel chapter number 3, and look at verse number 24. Daniel chapter number 3, and look on down at verse number 24. Daniel chapter number 3. And verse number 24, and the Bible says right there, Daniel chapter number 3, and verse number 24, the Bible says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonied, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king." Now stop reading there. What story are we talking about here? Just to refresh your mind, it's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? These men, they refused to bow down to the image when the music was played. And because they refused to bow down, Nebuchadnezzar heats up the furnace and casts them into the fire to kill them. And so this is what we're reading there. And Nebuchadnezzar is asking the question in verse number 24, "Hey, didn't we just cast three men into the fire?" Well, look at verse number 25. And the Bible says, "He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like what? The Son of God." So in the Old Testament, we have prophecies, and even Nebuchadnezzar had heard about the Son of God. Now listen, the new versions change this. If you were to look in the NIV, the ESV, the NLT, all these new perversions, they change it to something like this. I forget off the top of my head. I meant to bring some of my perverse Bibles in here to show you this morning. But they change from the Son of God, they'll change it to a Son of the Gods. Lowercase s and gods, plural. They'll change it there. And why do they do that? Because they want to take those prophecies out of the Bible. Why? Because Satan wants to deny you and wants to keep you confused about who the Christ is. He doesn't want you to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He doesn't want you to understand that Jesus Christ himself is God. And listen, don't we see that all the time out soul winning? When we're out soul winning and we ask people, I always ask people this question, you know, was Jesus God? You know, most of the time the answer I get from people is they don't think that Jesus is God, or they don't know, they've never heard. They go to a Baptist church and yet they don't know that Jesus Christ is God. I mean, that is the state that we live in. Listen, that is basic, isn't it? I mean, that's just milk of the word to understand that Jesus Christ is God. But you see, Satan has people confused. And one of the ways he does that is by changing and perverting the scriptures. And so these new versions will take this scripture right here and they'll pervert it. And even in the New King James, by the way, and listen, the New King James, it leaves it the same in the text. But you know what it does? If you go down to the bottom of the page in the New King James Bible, they have a note there that says, "or Son of the Gods." And so they are casting doubt upon the Word of God there about what the Bible ought to say there. So right there we see in the Bible an Old Testament prophecy concerning the Son of God. Now let's look at some other places in the Old Testament. Go to Psalms chapter number 2 and look at verse number 6. Psalms chapter number 2. And verse number 6, see what the Bible has to say there. Psalms chapter number 2 and verse number 6. And see what the Word of God has to say. Psalms chapter number 2 and verse number 6. And the Bible says this in Psalms chapter number 2, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my what? My son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." And so right there, listen, don't we see salvation right there, by the way? I mean, we see the Son, and by the way, this proves that Old Testament salvation was the same, right? That in the New Testament, how is it that we are saved? We are saved by believing on the Son. We are saved by believing that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God, by trusting in Him. And what do we see in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms? We see this prophecy about the Son, that He's going to rule the world, that He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And then in verse number 12, what do we see there? Blessed are all they that do what? That put their trust in Him. You see, that's talking about salvation there. And salvation in the Old Testament was the same as it is in the New Testament, and that it was by believing on the Son, according to the Word of God. And so right there in the Old Testament, what do we see? Another prophecy about the Son. Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter number 30. Look at verse number 4. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 4. See what the Word of God has to say there. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 4. And the Bible says right there, Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 4, if I can get my fingers turning there, working right here this morning, there we go. Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 4, and the Bible says this, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? What's the answer to that? Jesus, right? It says this, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Again, another scripture that's talking about the Son of God, right? You see, that's why when we get into the New Testament, and these people, even if they didn't know that Jesus was the Christ, they understood that the Christ, the Savior of the world, would be the Son of God. And that's why it was so imperative at the baptism of John that God spoke at that point. And you had God the Father and the Holy Ghost descending upon him as a dove. And God saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father was showing the world at that point that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who's going to save you. This is who's going to take away your sins. He's the one that's going to die for you. And isn't that exactly what John the Baptist was preaching? I mean, the baptism of John the Baptist was this: repent ye and believe the gospel. You see, the Apostle Paul said, hey, the baptism of repentance was that you repent from your false beliefs and you turn and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was salvation, and that's what took place at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was showing mankind that this is the Christ. Look back at what the Bible says. Go to Isaiah chapter number 7 and look at verse number 13. Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 13. Again, just going through, looking at these Old Testament prophecies about the Son. Look at Isaiah chapter number 7 and look down at verse number 13. Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 13, the Bible says this. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Hey, does this sound familiar? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a what? A son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, the Bible says. And then when we go to Matthew chapter number 1, in fact, go ahead and turn over there because this is the fulfillment of that. Matthew chapter number 1, I use this all the time out sowing. Look at Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 21. And the Bible, speaking about Mary here, says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of who? The Lord. So who's speaking it? The Lord. God is speaking it, right? I mean, that's God speaking. It says, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. So do you get what it's saying there? God spoke this. God gave him the name Emmanuel. So you have God calling the Son what? God. I mean, that's another proof that Jesus Christ is God. If Jehovah's Witnesses come up to you, that's a proof right there that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, because you have God the Father calling him God there in the Scripture. And this is the fulfillment of Isaiah 7. Go back to the book of Isaiah and go to Isaiah chapter number 9. And look at what the Bible has to say there. Isaiah chapter number 9. And look at verse number 7. Isaiah chapter number 9 or verse number 6. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. See what the Bible has to say there. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. And the Bible says this in Isaiah 9, 6. And the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." You see that there? How many times have we seen this in the Old Testament now? It says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulders." Hey, didn't we read about that government earlier in the book of Psalms? Saying that he would rule with what? A rod of iron, the Bible says. The government be upon his shoulder, the Bible says. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now listen. The Bible makes it clear here that the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he's going to have the kingdom, and he's going to come and sit upon the throne of David, and those prophecies make it plain that he would be a son of David. Now let me ask you a question here, because the Jews today don't believe that the Messiah has come. They don't believe that Jesus was the Christ. They don't believe in the Savior that you and I believe. But here's the thing. The only one who could ever fulfill the prophecies was the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one else throughout all of history that you could ever point to and say, this man was the Christ. And listen, there's no one that will ever come in the future that you could point to and say, this is the Christ. Because here's the thing. How would you ever prove they're a son of David? How could you do that? Could you do that? No, their genealogies have been destroyed. You see, God allowed that for a reason, for them to be destroyed. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that we ought to avoid endless genealogies which gender strifes. And that's why the last genealogy that's given in the Scriptures, whose genealogy? Is the Lord Jesus Christ, showing that Jesus Christ was the Son of David, and that fulfills the Scriptures. Now let's go ahead and look at some other Scriptures. In fact, go ahead and go to Hosea chapter number 11 and look at verse number 1. Hosea chapter number 11 and verse number 1. So turn to the right in your Bible. Go past the major prophets. Go right past the book of Daniel and you'll hit the book of Hosea. So Hosea chapter number 11 and look at verse number 1 of the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter number 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says this right there. Hosea 11:1, and the Bible says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." Now right there again, it's talking about his son being called out of Egypt, isn't it? Now listen here, because some might say, well, isn't this talking about just Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt? Isn't that what that's talking about? Some would say that. And listen, that is part of it. But there's also a dual meaning here. You see, this is the wonderful thing about Scripture, that there is layer upon layer upon layer throughout the Scriptures, that every time you read through the Bible, you're going to see something else. You're going to find something else that you didn't find before, and that's why you ought to be reading through the Scriptures on a continual basis, because this is not only talking about Old Testament Israel when they came out of Egypt, but it is a foreshadowing, it is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, him being called out of Egypt. How do we know that? We'll go to Matthew chapter number 2 and look what the Bible has to say there. We have the fulfillment of this. Matthew chapter number 2 and look at verse number 15. And the Bible says right there in Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 15, and the Bible says, And was there until the death. In fact, let's look back a couple of verses just to get some context. Go back to verse number 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word." So where did they flee to? Egypt, right? Remember the prophecy that we just read? That he would call his son out of where? Out of Egypt. Continue reading there. And the Bible says in verse 15, "And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son." You see that there? So this is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy in Hosea chapter number 11. So when we look at all these scriptures and we compare all these things together, what does this show us? This shows us that the Christ would be the Son of God. Go to Micah chapter number 5 back in the Old Testament. Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 1. If you don't find it, I'll read it for you. I know it's a smaller book. Might be harder for you to find. But Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 1, Micah comes right after Jonah. Maybe that'll help you to find it there. Micah chapter number 5 and comes right before Nahum, by the way. So maybe that'll help you to find it if you see either of those ones. Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old, from when?
Everlasting.
So listen, when it's talking about somebody coming out of Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from everlasting, who do you think that's talking about? I mean, the only one that can talk about is the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about the prophecy there. And, of course, that is fulfilled in Matthew 2, verse number 5, if we went back over there, and I'll read it to you. But the Bible says there, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. And so that is fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at all these prophecies in the Old Testament, and it tells us about the Son of God, you see, that's how in the New Testament they knew that the Christ would be the Son of God. You see, that's why whenever we see throughout the Scriptures and it's emphasizing Christ being the Son of God, it is emphasizing the fact that Jesus was the Christ. In fact, you know, who is the Son of God to us? Well, the Bible tells us in John chapter number 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so listen, the emphasis of Jesus being the Son of God is of the utmost importance. That it's showing us that the Son of God is the Christ. So what does it mean to be the Christ? Well, first of all, and this is point number one this morning. We got more to get through. But point number one this morning, what does it mean to be the Christ? That he would be the Son of God. Go to John chapter number 1. Look at verse number 41. See what the Bible has to say there. John chapter number 1. And verse number 41, see what the Word of God has to say. We're going to move on to the next point here today. John chapter number 1 and verse number 41. And we want to see also the term Messiah in the Scripture, right? Look at what the Bible says here, John chapter number 1, verse number 41. Because there are those out there, such as Sam Gipp, that teach that unless you're a Jew, Jesus is not your Messiah. Now listen, that is blasphemous. Look what the Bible says here, John chapter number 1, verse number 41. And the Bible says, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found who? Messiah, that's Messiah, which is being interpreted the what? The Christ. So listen, could you imagine how excited Peter was when he goes and finds his brother, and he's excited telling him, hey, we found the Christ. What do you think he's telling his brother? Hey, we found the Son of God. We found him. He's here. He's excited about that. And the Bible makes it plain that Messiah being interpreted meaneth what? The Christ, right? The Son of God is what that means. And if you say that Jesus is not your Messiah, and that unless you're a Jew, Jesus is not your Messiah, you know what in effect you're saying? You're saying that Jesus is not your Christ. You're saying that Jesus is not the Son of God. You're saying that Jesus is not the Savior. You're saying that Jesus is not the Holy One. You're saying that he's not the Anointed One. You're denying the Son. And listen, the Bible makes it plain in 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 22, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. So listen, if somebody goes around teaching that Jesus is not your Messiah, that is a false prophet. That is somebody who is Antichrist according to the Word of God. That's someone who is not saved. And it doesn't matter if they call themselves a Baptist. It doesn't matter if they claim to be independent Baptists. If you deny that Jesus is the Son, if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, who is Antichrist? But he that denieth that he is the Christ is what the Bible says. And so listen, we should not be surprised by this because the Bible tells us that, hey, even among our own selves, that there shall arise false prophets. Listen, we need to be careful of that. And listen, just because somebody calls himself a preacher does not mean they are a preacher. Listen, just because they're on the television does not mean they're a man of God. Just because they're a pastor of a so-called church does not mean that they are a preacher of the Word of God. You need to get into their doctrine and see what they believe. And if they deny that Jesus is the Christ, then they're Antichrist. Then they're not. Then they're not a man of God. Hey, Martin Luther is another one of those. Did you know that? I mean, our world likes to honor Martin Luther King, right? I mean, we have streets here in New Orleans that are named after Martin Luther King, and we have all kinds of monuments and streets throughout this country that are named after him. But did you know if you were to go and look up his teachings, and listen, you can find them. I believe they're at a, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Stanford University has them public where you can look up his own writings and let the man condemn himself out of his own mouth. Because out of the man's own mouth, he denies that Jesus was, that Mary was a virgin, denies that Jesus was God. And listen, Martin Luther King was a Baptist. Did you know that? Martin Luther King was a Baptist, and yet he denied the virgin birth. He denied the deity of Christ, denied that Jesus Christ was God. And who is Antichrist? But he that denieth that Jesus is a Christ. Hey, that man, Martin Luther King, is burning in hell because he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And any other man, whether they're Baptist, independent Baptist, doesn't matter who they are, if they deny that Jesus is the Christ, then they're burning in hell. Who is a liar, the Bible says, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Look back at what the Bible has to say here. Let's continue moving on. In fact, let's go back to Daniel chapter number 9. Turn back over there because the term Messiah is not used a whole lot in the Scripture. But listen, the term Messiah being interpreted meaneth what? The Christ, right? So every time in the New Testament, when we read the word Christ, talking about Jesus Christ, the Christ, every single time it is the word Messiah. Everybody got that? Now let's go back to Daniel chapter number 9 and see if we can get some meaning about what the term Messiah means. Daniel chapter number 9. And look at verse number 24. Daniel chapter number 9 and verse number 24. Let me get turned over there. Daniel chapter number 9 and verse number 24. And the Bible says this in Daniel chapter number 9, verse number 24. And the Bible says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up and to anoint the what? Most holy. Now keep that in mind. Let's continue reading verse number 25. And the Bible says right there, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 80 and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous time. Now we're not going to get into all the prophecy that we see here. But we are going to focus on a couple of things here in this just to show you who the Christ was. What the term Messiah meant. We already know and understand from this morning. Now, first of all, the Christ is talking about the Son of God, right? Already seen that. We already know that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the fulfillment of that. But what are some other things that we see in the Bible? We'll look back at what we saw there in verse number 25. The Bible said right there, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment and to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto who?
Messiah.
The what?
The prince.
Now, didn't we read about a prince at some point in the scriptures that we've looked at here this morning already? I mean, Isaiah chapter number 9, right? Go ahead and turn over there. Keep a finger here because we'll come right back. But look at Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah's back to the left in the scripture, right before the book of Jeremiah. But go back to Isaiah chapter number 9 and look at verse number 6 again. And look what the Bible has to say there. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. And the Bible says again, for unto us a child is born. Hey, Jesus is the fulfillment of that, right? It says, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the what?
Prince
of Peace, the Bible says. You see, the prince, when we talk about the Messiah, we're talking about the Prince of Peace. Now listen, if Jesus is not your Messiah unless you're a Jew, you know what you're saying? You're saying you can't have peace. You're saying that you're going to be damned to hell, that you'll never have peace because you're going to hell. But listen, Jesus is the Messiah for the entire world. Jesus is the Messiah for every person that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that they one day can have peace. And how do they have that peace? Because our rest is found in Christ. Remember, the Bible tells us the labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest it come upon you the evil form of unbelief, the Bible says. And listen, the Bible makes it plain that when we talk about the Messiah, we're talking about the Prince of Peace, right? Now go back to Daniel chapter number 9. Let's see something else there. There's something else we're going to focus on even more here. Isaiah or Daniel chapter number 9. Look at verse number 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy holy people. And upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to do what? Anoint the most holy. Well, who do you think that is? When we talk about anointing the most holy, well, who is that? That's the Lord, right? Let's look at some scriptures. In fact, let's look at some Old Testament prophecies of that. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 19 and look at verse number 22. Because the most holy, there's another term for that in the Old Testament. And it's called, and he is called, the Holy One of Israel. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 19 and look at verse number 22. 2 Kings chapter number 19. In verse number 22, and listen, we don't even have time to look at every time that the Bible talks about the Holy One of Israel. We're just looking at a few of them throughout the Old Testament, and we're going to see what that shows us, because remember, Messiah is talking about the Prince of Peace. Messiah is talking about anointing the Most Holy, right? So look at what the Bible says, 2 Kings chapter number 19, and look at verse number 22. See what the Bible has to say there, 2 Kings chapter number 19. And verse number 22, and the Bible says this right there, 2 Kings 19, verse 22. The Bible says, whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, ever even against the what? The Holy One of Israel. By thy messengers thou hast reproached the who?
Lord.
The Lord. So the Holy One of Israel is who? Is the Lord, the Bible shows us. Go to Psalms chapter number 16 and look at verse number 10. Psalms chapter number 16 and verse number 10. If you want definitive proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy One of Israel. And so listen, this will help you in your interpretation of the scriptures. That when you read the Old Testament and every time you read about the Holy One of Israel, it is specifically talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalms chapter number 16 and look at verse number 10. And the Bible says this, Psalms chapter number 16, verse number 10. And the Bible says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Hey, who do you think that's talking about? Jesus, right? Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, the Bible says. And we know according to the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 2, the Bible says that David spoke this concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Acts chapter number 2, verse 27, it quotes it, and it says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And if the Bible tells us that David spoke this concerning Christ, then you know what that tells us? That every time you read about the Holy One of Israel, who is it talking about? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ specifically. Go to Psalm chapter number 89 and look at verse number 18. Psalm chapter number 89, verse number 18. See what the Word of God has to say there. Psalm chapter 89, verse number 18. And the Bible says this, "The Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." Well, who is our King, people? I mean, our King is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it that's going to rule and reign on this earth? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, according to the Bible. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our King, and it's Jesus. Hey, and if we're talking about the nation of Israel, who is it that would sit upon the throne of David, according to Isaiah chapter number 9? And it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel is Jesus Christ. Go to Isaiah chapter number 40, and look at verse number 25. Isaiah chapter number 40, and verse number 25, look at what the Bible has to say there. You didn't know you're going to have to do this much work on Christmas Eve, did you? Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 25, and the Bible says right there, Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 25, let me get turned over there myself. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 25, and the Bible says this right there, Isaiah 40 and verse number 25, Bible says, "To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be what? Equal, saith who?" So who is the Holy One equal to? Hey, doesn't that remind you something in the New Testament? That the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He made Himself what? Equal with God. Remember, they wanted to kill Him, they wanted to stone Him, because He had made Himself equal with God. Why was it, how was it that Jesus could be equal with God? Because He was God, right? And if we read about that here, we're talking about, hey, who are you going to make me equal to? Well, let's see who we make Him equal to, shall we? Look at what the Bible has to say there. Isaiah 40, verse number, where do we leave off? Verse 25, look at verse 26. "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God..." Hey, didn't we read that in Isaiah 9:6? The what? "He shall be called the what? The everlasting," the Bible says. It says, "The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength," the Bible says. Look at verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint," the Bible says. Hey, who is He equal to? Who is the Holy One equal to? He's equal to God. He's equal to the Creator. He's equal to the everlasting, because He's from everlasting, because He is the mighty God, because He's the anointed Savior, the anointed God, the anointed King of the earth. Look back down what the Bible says. Go to Isaiah chapter number 41 and verse number 14 right there. Isaiah 41, verse number 14, the Bible says right there, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy," what? "Redeemer." Who's their Redeemer? The Holy, it says, the Holy One of who? Of Israel. Listen, all these things show us who the Holy One is, right? The Holy One of Israel. So when we read in the Scriptures about the Messiah being the most holy, and we read about the Holy One there, well, who are we talking about when we talk about the Messiah? We're talking about the Lord. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the Prince of Peace. We're talking about the Most Holy. We're talking about the Holy One. We're talking about our Redeemer. And listen, if you sit there and say that Jesus isn't your Messiah, then you're saying that Jesus isn't your Redeemer. And listen, there's only one Redeemer, there's only one Savior, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back down, let me prove it to you even further. I mean, these scriptures, when you put all these together, it just makes it clear, doesn't it? Look at what the Bible has to say, Isaiah 43, verse number 14. Isaiah 43, verse number 14, the Bible says right there, "Thus saith the Lord, your what?
Redeemer."
Redeemer, the who? The Holy One of Israel. Again, showing us that. Look at Isaiah 47, verse number 44. Isaiah 47, not 44, verse 4. Isaiah 47, 4. And the Bible says right there, Isaiah 47, 4. "As our," what?
Redeemer.
"The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel." I mean, over and over and over again, the Bible drives home this point, doesn't it? Shows us who the Holy One is. So when we get to the New Testament, you see, they had an idea of who the Messiah was, didn't they? By seeing all these scriptures, they understood that the Christ was the Messiah, that the Christ was the Prince of Peace, that the Christ was the Son of God, that the Christ was the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Look on down to Isaiah 48, verse number 17, Isaiah 48 and verse number 17. The Bible says right there, Isaiah 48, verse 17, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God." Hey, you know what that shows us? When we read about the Holy One of Israel and he says, "I am thy God," what's that showing us? That Jesus Christ is God. Because guess what? In the New Testament, Jesus is also called the Holy One. Did you know that? We'll get to that in a moment. Let's look at some more scriptures. Go to Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 7. The Bible says this, Isaiah 49, verse number 7. And the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nations abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see thee and rise, princes shall worship thee, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, he shall choose thee." Let's go on down to Isaiah 54 and verse number 5. Last place in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 54, verse number 5. And again, we're just looking at a few of these scriptures this morning. This isn't even every single one. But what do we see consistently throughout here? That the Holy One of Israel means what? He is the Redeemer. He is God. He is the Creator. He's the Everlasting. He's the Prince of Peace. I mean, it just goes on and on, doesn't it? Look at what the Bible says here, Isaiah chapter number 54. And look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called." Hey, man, this is pretty clear, isn't it? Who is the Holy One of Israel? You ought to have a good understanding of that now. Right? Who is the Holy One? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God. He is the Creator. He is thy Maker. Let's go on down in the Bible and look at some other scriptures. Go to Habakkuk chapter number 1, verse number 12. Let me read it to you, in fact. And the Bible says, "Art thou from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One." Hey, it's saying the Holy One is from what? From when? Everlasting. Didn't we already see that about the Son of God? That the Son of God was also from where? From everlasting. So if the Son of God's from everlasting, the Holy One's from everlasting, then they're one and the same, aren't they? Absolutely. Let's look on at some more scripture. Let me read this to you. Isaiah 29, verse number 19. "The meek shall also increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Go to Luke chapter number 4 and look at verse number 18. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 18. Because remember, back in the book of Daniel, we read about the Messiah who would be the anointed most holy, right? Well, what's he anointed to? What is that anointed? Well, look at what the Bible says. Luke chapter number 4, and look at verse number 18. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 18. And the Bible says right there in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 18, the Bible says this. And it says right there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to do what?
Preach.
To preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives." Hey, doesn't that sound like a Redeemer? Absolutely. It says, "And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book And he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, this scripture, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? Hey, this day, what day? The day that Jesus Christ is speaking there. That this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. What is fulfilled? That he is the anointed Savior of the whole earth. That he is the anointed most holy. That he's the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer of Israel, the Savior of the earth. That he's from everlasting. Do you see what Messiah means now? That when we talk about the Messiah, this should give you a whole new meaning for what that means. Go to Mark chapter number 1 and look what the Bible has to say there. I told you Jesus is called the Holy One in the New Testament. Let's see that. Go to Mark chapter number 1 and look at verse number 24. And the Bible says this in Mark chapter number 1, verse number 24, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art. The what? The Holy One of God. Hey, go to Acts chapter number 3 and look at verse number 14. See what the Bible has to say there. Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 14. And there we'll have the disciples who are speaking, and they call him the Holy One. Look at what the Bible has to say. Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 14. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 14. Let me get turned over there as well. And the Bible says this in Acts chapter number 3, verse number 14. The Bible says right there. In fact, go back up to verse number 13. Let's start there. Or verse 12. Let's start there. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up. Hey, first of all, when he calls him his son, he's calling him the Son of God there, right? What is he telling them? That he's the Messiah, right? That he's the Christ. Look at what else he says there. Whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied who? The Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Notice this, verse 15. And killed the what? The Prince of Life, the Bible says. You see why they had so much power on the day of Pentecost when they're preaching the Word of God, when God is allowing them to use these miracles and to speak in tongues, and they're showing the nation of Israel. And listen, doesn't the Bible tell us that on that day there were devout men of the Jews from every nation under earth, right? And the Bible gives you a list of languages that were spoken there. I believe it, what was it, 19 languages or something like that, that is spoken there. And they're all Jews, and they're hearing the Word of God. And when the Apostle Peter stands up and speaks with boldness and talks about the Son of God, the Prince of Life, the Holy One of Israel, you know what he's telling them? This is the Christ. You know what he's telling them? This is the Messiah. You know what he's telling them? He was from everlasting. He's the one that the Scriptures prophesied of, and you killed him. Hey, do you have a better understanding of what it means when we talk about the Christ here this morning? I hope so. In fact, go to John chapter number 4. Let's finish this out here today. John chapter number 4. Look at verse number 29. The Bible says this in John chapter number 4 and verse number 29. And look at what the Word of God has to say there. John chapter number 4 and verse number 29. And the Bible says this in John chapter number 4, verse number 29. And the Bible says right there, John chapter number 4, verse 29. This is the woman at the well, if you remember her. The Bible says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the what? The Christ. You see, the woman at the well, who is a Samaritan, and what is she recognizes who the Christ is, doesn't she? She knew who the Christ was. She was looking for him. And Jesus Christ reveals himself to her. And look what he says there. Verse number 30, the Bible goes on to say. Well, in fact, let's go back to verse 25. And the Bible says, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. What's Messiah being interpreted? The Christ, right? I know that Messiah cometh, which is called what? Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Hey, you know what Jesus Christ was saying when he said, I am he? When he said, I am the Christ, he's saying he's God. When he said, I am Christ, he's saying he's the Savior. He's saying he's the Holy One of Israel. He's saying he's the Redeemer, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace. He's from everlasting. I mean, it just goes on and on and on that this is the Christ. And that's what it means, that he's the Savior of the whole earth and that he is the Lord. Because what does the Bible tell us about the Lord? That there is only one Lord and there's only one Savior, and the Lord is his name, the Bible says. Look back down at what the Bible says there, verse number 27. Or verse, let's see, where did we leave off there? Verse 26, he said, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, the Bible says. Go down to verse 42. And the Bible says there in verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed, notice this, the Christ, the what?
Savior.
The Savior of the world. You know what it means to be the Christ? It means he's the Savior. It means he's the one that was anointed from the very beginning, that he's the anointed Savior, that he's the anointed King, that he's from everlasting, that he was God manifest in the flesh, that he was the very Son of God. And this is what it means to be Christ. And listen, the Bible says in 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So listen, the Bible says, hey, how do you get saved? By believing that Jesus Christ is what? The Son of God. You know what that means? That if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, that you also believe that he's the Christ. That you also believe that he's the Savior. That you also believe that he was the Most Holy. That he was from everlasting. That he was God manifest in the flesh. And who is he that is Antichrist? Who is he that is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. You see, if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, you know what you're saying? You're saying Jesus Christ is not the Savior. You're saying Jesus Christ is not God. You're saying he's not the Prince of Life. He's not the Prince of Peace. He's not the Messiah. I mean, then the list goes on and on and on, that he's not the Creator, that he's not the Maker, that he was not God manifest in the flesh, because this is what it means to be the Christ, that he was the Savior of the world, that it took God to be the Savior. Let's end in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in your Word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for him being the Christ, for him being our Savior. Lord, we thank you that you gave us a Savior to save us from our sins. And I ask that you'd help us to take these things, to search them out, to study them, to receive them, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. We're dismissed here today.